You're listening to an African Elements top news story for July 17, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the systemic wealth gap history keeps sparking viral clashes. In July 2026, an intense debate in a congressional hearing room caught the attention of millions online. The confrontation occurred during a session of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee's Task Force on Defending Constitutional Rights and Exposing Institutional Abuses. This particular hearing, titled Combating DEI in American Institutions, focused on federal diversity initiatives. It quickly became a battleground for two opposing views of American economic reality. The most viral exchange involved Congressman Christian Menefee of Texas and Dr. Michael Shires of the America First Policy Institute. Congressman Menefee, who represents the 18th District of Houston, challenged the witness on the existence of a level playing field. Dr. Shires argued that existing laws are enough to protect citizens from discrimination. However, the freshman congressman pushed back with historical facts and modern statistics about housing and employment. This moment showed that debates over diversity are more than academic discussions. They are struggles over who gets to participate in the American dream. The debate highlighted a fundamental disagreement about how to solve racial inequality. Opponents of diversity programs argue for a colorblind system that focuses on equal rules. From this perspective, the law should only guarantee that everyone plays by the same guidelines. Any attempt to measure success by outcomes is seen as changing the finish line rather than removing obstacles. These critics suggest that differences in neighborhood values or job hiring rates come from natural market forces rather than systemic bias. Supporters of equity programs point out that a fair race cannot happen when some runners started miles behind the others. This philosophy requires people to look at the differences between equality and equity. While equality gives everyone the same resources, equity provides resources based on specific needs to ensure fair outcomes. To understand this divide, one must look at how federal policy is shaped today. Organizations like the America First Policy Institute have gained massive influence. This group was founded in 2021 by former senior advisors to Donald Trump. It serves as a powerful force in drafting policy and placing leaders in top cabinet positions, pushing for the complete removal of federal diversity initiatives. To understand why the playing field is not level, one must examine the history of the American housing market. During the Great Depression, the federal government created the Homeowners Loan Corporation in 1933. This agency designed color-coded maps of more than 200 cities to assess lending risks. Neighborhoods with black residents were colored red and labeled hazardous. This practice, known as redlining, prevented black families from securing government-backed mortgages. The Federal Housing Administration, created in 1934, solidified this discrimination. The agency explicitly warned against the integration of different racial groups in its underwriting manuals. Consequently, between 1934 and 1962, the federal government funded over $120 billion in home subsidies. Less than 2% of those funds went to non-white families. This massive injection of federal cash built the white suburbs while starving black urban neighborhoods of capital. It established a system where property values were tied directly to race. This history is critical for understanding the development of the history of the black family and its financial foundation over generations. The Fair Housing Act of 1968 outlawed explicit housing discrimination, but it did not erase decades of lost wealth. White families used the equity from their suburban homes to buy college educations, start businesses, and pass down inheritance. Meanwhile, black families remained locked out of these wealth-building opportunities. They were forced to rent or buy in devalued urban centers. The long-term impact of this exclusion has resulted in a massive, compounding economic gap. Economic data shows that the typical black family today holds only 15 cents of wealth for every dollar held by a white family. According to researchers at Princeton University, the racial wealth gap stalled after 1950. Before that time, black workers were slowly catching up through labor savings. However, in the late 20th century, the primary engine of wealth shifted from labor income to capital gains in the financial markets. Because black families were historically prevented from buying homes, they missed out on the financial capital needed to invest in the booming stock market. Their wealth remained concentrated in housing, which yields lower long-term returns and remains subject to systemic undervaluation. Even when Black families manage to purchase homes, they face ongoing discrimination in the appraisal process. A home appraisal determines the market value of a property for selling or refinancing. If the appraisal is too low, the homeowner cannot access their equity. Research from the Brookings Institution shows that homes in majority Black neighborhoods are valued 23% lower than comparable homes. In white neighborhoods, this systemic devaluation represents $156 billion in lost wealth for Black homeowners. This bias physically manifests in several ways. Appraisers often use subjective, coded language in their reports, such as pride of ownership or crime-ridden, which act as proxies for race. Furthermore, appraisers frequently select inferior comparable sales from segregated neighborhoods rather than closer, higher-quality properties. Automated valuation models also perpetuate this discrimination. These computer algorithms are trained on historical sales databases that already reflect decades of racial bias. By using these historical inputs, the software cloaks past discrimination in a false mantle of objectivity. The professional appraisal industry has pushed back against these accusations. Representatives from organizations like the Appraisal Institute argue that systemic bias is not widespread. They suggest that low valuations are often individual mistakes rather than systemic discrimination. Additionally, industry leaders point out that studies like the Brookings report rely on sales price data rather than direct human appraisal reports. Despite this defense, the industry has taken steps to address public concerns. The Appraisal Institute updated its Code of Professional Ethics to explicitly forbid discrimination based on protected classes. It also created new educational courses on fair housing laws and valuation bias. To change the face of the profession, which is currently 97% white, the organization partnered with Fannie Mae and the National Urban League. They aim to recruit and train a more diverse workforce. This response shows how pressure from civil rights advocates can push traditional institutions toward reform. It mirrors past struggles over affirmative action in education, where representation was recognized as a key element of fairness. To combat appraisal discrimination, the federal government launched a coordinated effort. In June 2021, the Biden administration created the Property Appraisal and Valuation Equity Task Force. Co-chaired by the Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Domestic Policy Council, PAVE brought 13 federal agencies together. In March 2022, the task force released an action plan to reform the appraisal industry. The PAVE plan proposed several key policies to protect homeowners. It aimed to empower consumers by creating a standard process to appeal low valuations, known as a reconsideration of value. The task force also worked to remove unnecessary barriers to entry for new appraisers to diversify the field. However, following the transition of federal power in 2025, the new administration disbanded the PAVE task force. This rollback has shifted the responsibility of civil rights enforcement back to state agencies and local organizations. This transition reflects the ongoing debate over the sharing of power between the federal government and individual states in protecting vulnerable communities. The 2026 congressional hearing highlighted the consequences of these federal shifts. As federal oversight of diversity programs disappears, universities and private corporations are adapting to survive. Witnesses at the hearing documented how many institutions are quietly rebranding their diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. They are changing the names of their offices to avoid executive scrutiny while still trying to address racial gaps. In response, opponents are proposing strict compliance audits. These measures would require federal contractors and universities to certify that they do not use racial preferences, under threat of losing their federal funding. This strategic battle shows that the conflict over systemic inequality has not ended. It has simply entered a new, more complex phase. The legal and political arguments developed in these hearings will likely shape federal policy for years to come. The viral confrontation between Congressman Menifee and Dr. Shires represents two distinct visions for the future of the nation. One vision relies on a colorblind model that assumes the market will naturally reward individual merit. It holds that explicit laws on paper are sufficient to protect opportunity. The other vision argues that true fairness cannot exist without active, equity-focused policies that dismantle historical structures. As the nation rolls back modern equity initiatives, the hard data remains unchanged. The systemic wealth gap and housing discrimination continue to affect millions of Black families. The struggle in that congressional hearing room was a reminder that history is not just in the past. It is actively shaping the economic landscape of today. Whether the nation chooses to ignore these structural barriers or actively dismantle them will define the next chapter of the American story. Copyright, African Elements.